Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, that lively, exciting, rallying music can only mean one thing. It's the opening of this week's Drive-Thru HR. Hello, everybody. It's March 26th. I'm Robin Schooling, your host for Drive-Thru HR. My co-host, Mike Vandervoort, is not with us today, so we're going to have to dispense with that witty banter that Mike and I usually indulge in at the beginning of the show. But that's quite all right, because I anticipate that our entire episode today is going to be just one episode full of witty banter, and that's because our guest today is someone I'm really excited to talk to, Adam Karpiak. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how are you? No pressure, right? That sounds great.
Right. None at all. So I'm going to have you introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about your background. This is like this is like everybody's favorite interview question, right?
Yeah,
tell us about yourself.
Basically, I'm going for an interview here. My biggest weakness is caring too much. You know, I have been in recruiting, agency recruiting, for 16 years now. My first job out of school was an agency recruiter. I was there for 8 years doing the wonderful world of accounting recruiting. And then I went out on my own 8 years ago this month I gave notice as a birthday present to myself. And I've been on my own since.
And still focused on accounting and
finance. Actually just public accounting. I thought if I was going to go out on my own, it would be easier with my OCD to have a laser focus as opposed to try to grab and have various topics. So, yeah, just public accounting.
I don't know. I guess anybody working in any sort of field can say, you know, I've got it. You have no idea what I'm going through with the types of positions I need to recruit
right.
for. But yours has got to be fascinating stories.
as you can tell, I have the personality of a public accountant. get along very well. It's funny. All job seekers are the same. They might have different flags or different reasons for looking, but it's pretty translatable across the board, I found.
Yeah. So now, interestingly, you said you went right from school into an agency.
Yes.
Did you, does anybody go through school thinking, I want to be a recruiter? How'd you land there?
No, and you know what? I think I actually lied. There was 6 months where I was where I did some financial representative stuff, you know, life insurance and all that good stuff.
Yep.
And I went to school. I was a political science major and decided I did not want to do anything remotely related to that. So I, you know, got into sales. My personality was kind of, you know, salesy and personable and stuff like that. And I realized, you know, it would be nice having maybe a salary or having money. So I decided to just put my resume online, and for some reason or another, I had the word recruit on there, and I have no idea why. But I was called in for an interview, and I didn't even know what the job was. Even listening to him explain the job, I didn't care because there was a salary, and I went with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know anyone that actually, you know, goes into it thinking, you know what, I want to be a recruiter. It's just not like one of those things that's on people's radar.
Yeah, I think the folks that I've run into over the years that did have that as sort of a, gee, I want to, you know, get out of school and go right into recruiting, the only folks I've run into that seems to apply to are those who have parents who are recruiters for some obscure reason.
Yeah. Yeah, my son always says, like, you know, I want to be part of Karpiak recruiting, and I say, yeah, we'll talk about it later. I don't wish that on anyone. But we'll see.
That's Karpiak and Sons recruiting, then. Right?
Yeah, exactly. If you want a fatty liver and acid reflux, we'll go for it, buddy. You know.
Yep, that works. So you know, one of the one of the things that caused us to say, let's get Adam on the show, which we wrote up when we wrote up the episode, was the fact that that you just lay it out there online in the most entertaining and delightful way, I have to say. You know, and recruiter Twitter is like on fire lately.
That is a very
HR Twitter
niche,
goes up and down.
Yeah, that is a very niche topic, but yeah, we have some fun with it, I think.
So what do you owe that to? What do you owe that sort of cesspool of angst, as we can call it, that so many people gravitate towards, recruiters and non-recruiters?
I kind of wrote this up in my LinkedIn bio a while back when I was trying to differentiate myself in terms of being putting myself out there. And when you're a recruiter, you're taught certain things. And one of them is other recruiters are your mortal enemy. You don't fraternize with other recruiters because they're the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things where you really can't commiserate because no one else really understands what you do, like family-wise. Or, you know, Thanksgiving is always fun because everyone thinks I work in HR or I'm a military recruiter. No one knows who the hell I do. But other recruiters totally get it. And I think, you know, just being honest and putting yourself out there, it's like, oh, yeah, like I deal with that too. Or, yeah, like these people are crazy or, you know, clients are insane or candidates, you know, you do a 16-point font and sometimes it's not right. There's only things that other recruiters can relate to. And I think candidates, or not even like direct candidates, but people that are looking for a job, appreciate the fact that, you know, I don't have a boss. And the way that works is I think not having a boss allows me to be a little more honest with how recruiters look at job seekers. And because, you know, a lot of recruiters, job seekers, they yes them to death, and it's not really helpful. And I think that by being on my own and not having to worry about, you know, being called into management one day because I made a joke, it's easier for people to approach me and ask questions, and I can be honest with them. So, and I think, especially like on Twitter, you know, if we can do that in GIF form or GIF, you know, I don't want to start shit, so it's GIF or GIF. But,
right.
But I don't need to deal with that again. But I think it's relatable, and people jump in. I mean, you see, I have recruiters, I have HR, I have just regular people that are just looking for a job. It's fun, and and I think everyone learns something as well.
Yeah, and taking the fun aside, I think you know, from the casual observer on the outside looking in, happens upon one of these conversations going on Twitter, and it's funny and it's humorous, but there's a core of truth at the bottom of it, and I think it's providing information to Sally job seeker out there. Who's questioning her own sanity.
Exactly.
You know, I love it. And I think the ability that we have, and when we have that ability, whether it be, you know, on the straight HR side or on the recruiting side, the ability to sort of, you know, poke fun at some of the crazy shit that we have to do. You know, also maintains our sanity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's part, you know, social media for me is part pressure cooker, letting out some of the steam and relaxing, and also letting people know that they're not alone. It's pretty relatable stuff. And, you know, something that someone said to me once was, you know, talking to you is like just going to a bar and having a drink and talking about my career, but yet you also know what appropriate Futurama meme to use. Like, you totally get where I'm coming from, and I can open up to you, and I feel like you're not selling. And I think that's what especially job seekers are looking for. They're looking for empathy. And for the longest time, I found a lot of recruiters just didn't have that empathy because it was more of the sales aspect. And so this humanizes it.
Well, and to go back to something you said a few minutes ago, the ability for a recruiter or an HR professional or a hiring manager, for that matter, to give real honest human feedback to that person who was maybe the, you know, the other candidate, the one who didn't get the job.
Right.
That is so desired, it's so wanted, it's so necessary. And when you work certainly in-house, especially for a large enterprise, but even a small organization, people are just so reluctant to give that feedback and to be real and to be honest and to say, hey, Bob, here's where stuff went sideways. Here's why you didn't get the job. And it's, you know, having if I could wave my magic wand, you know, I would, you know, A, we'd have to remove the lawyers out of the equation and the litigious out of the equation.
Exactly.
But, man, I wish we could just deal with each other as people, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's the biggest difference maybe between corporate and agency recruiting as well, is that, you know, corporate, you know, or just even HR, you know, quarterbacking the process, their hands are so tied with feedback and protocol. Whereas, you know, agency recruiters, we can go rogue a little. We can go off script and we can help out in terms of, you know, maybe you shouldn't say this or do that. Or even if it's just, yeah, I'm pretty sure you smoked 6 cigarettes in the car on the way over. Let's nick or write it up a little, buddy. It's going to be a problem. And even, you know, companies are so reluctant. They fear litigation. They fear social media now. And it's like everything's either, you know, the process is broken or it's not human. And they're afraid to say the wrong thing. And so I think especially, even if it's not my candidate, it's even better because I have an objective point. I don't have any skin in the game. So if it's online, I can just throw, oh, well, clearly the recruiter thinks you're an idiot, or clearly the hiring manager's playing you. It's easier for me to say that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You've not worked in-house. You've always been on the agency side. Where do you see the battles, if you will, that, you know, why are we battling sometimes between in-house and agency recruiters? You know, it's the same family.
But, you know, again, you've been at your house Thanksgiving, it's family, you know, fight. What happens, I think personally, is this, as an agency recruiter in training, I mean, it's ingrained in you. Go around the corporate recruiter, go around HR, go behind your back, go straight to the hiring manager. And how infuriating is that when you work internally and someone keeps going behind your back? When the agency recruiter has to follow what their boss is saying and just totally screwing over HR or corporate, but they're going to get pissed. And, you know, I would be pissed too. It's not cool just to go behind the back, or, you know, if you try playing both, you know, people get in trouble playing both sides, trying to get a job order and recruiting out. I think it's just based on bad behavior. Otherwise, we all have the same goal. We all want to get these jobs filled and off our desks so the hiring manager shut the hell up. There's no reason that we can't get along. My best friends professionally are in HR. They're not recruiters. They're in HR because I talk to them way more in terms of jobs, and they vent to me about their hiring managers and what they're trying to fill, and they're quarterbacking the process. And you know what? Quarterbacking a hire process is so low, right, on the priority list with everything else they have to do. If I'm making their job easier, I'm a saint. You have to try. You have to try to make them mad at you, and you do, and that's where it all goes wrong.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes, because the dynamic I've seen play out as well is that in-house recruiter, that in-house HR leader, whoever it is that owns, you know, X number of requisitions, is charged with and sometimes has been hired to you know, build this talent function, you know, create it, you know, get it filled. Yes, you've got a staff. We're giving you a staff of recruiters in-house, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then they feel that they've failed.
Yes, right.
If they have to, I'm doing air quotes in my
It was funny. I did air quotes twice, and I was so sad that it was on video, and I was giggling to myself how awesome I looked. I get it.
but that in-house person feels that they've failed if they themselves don't have the bandwidth or the capabilities or the specialty or the time, whatever it may be, to get that, to fill that position themselves. So they they put their hands up and they keep you out.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, as a recruit, as an agency recruiter, that's the first thing you hear is, well, that's why they hired me. They hired me to fill these jobs. And it's like, okay, I'm not trying to step on your toes. I'm not saying you can't do it, but I'm here. And I think that's when, you know, as agency recruiters, we're trained to say, okay, thank you for that information. Screw you. No, I'm going to find out who the hiring manager is and make it the situation 10 times worse.
You know, one of the other relationships there, of course, in this dynamic of getting people into jobs, one of the other relationships, of course, is the relationship with the hiring managers themselves, who may, who in your case may or may not be your direct client, or they may just be a byproduct of the of the corporate client. How is a recruiter, you know, what are the things that you've done over the years? What's sort of your playbook to build a good relationship with that hiring manager?
You know, it all starts with honesty and being upfront. You know, if you can't fill a job for them, tell them. You know, if you don't have someone for the job order, tell them. If you don't have someone in the time frame that they need, tell them. That being said, okay, now that being said, if you're constantly telling them, I can't do it, I can't do it, they will stop calling. Don't get me wrong. That does not instill confidence in your abilities, okay? If you're constantly saying, I can't do this shit, I'm sorry, and throwing your hands in the air. That being said, they do appreciate that you're not going to keep dragging them on, and then sending either nothing or the wrong person. Honesty is where it starts. And then I think related to that is pushback. And when you're offering counterpoint to what the hiring manager is telling you, if the hiring manager is like, they should have this, I can say, no, Bob, they really don't, because that's not relevant anymore, or that's not how it works, or they're paying $1,000 more, or I'm not seeing that in the market. They appreciate market intelligence. Half the time, they don't know what's going down in the streets. You know, they have no idea. And then you have to keep in mind, the hiring manager is usually the one picking up the bulk of extra work until they hire someone. They want to hire someone. They want it off their plate as well. And so you want to say, listen, I'm willing to help you, but you have to kind of – it's hard earning that trust, but you earn – like a chicken or the egg. You earn the trust by being honest, but then you also have to come through. And then they don't believe you unless you earn the trust. So pushing back, you just have to be careful not to be too oppositional, because no one's ever said, hey – well, who was that oppositional guy? He was a real dick. We should call him and work with him. But you should be able to tell them, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about, and be able to back it up. And just as a sidebar, I think that's why recruiters should specialize in one field. And I'll stop saying that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It is. It can be hard to be everything to everybody.
I'm
going to go from hiring a, you know, marketing coordinator to
you see it online like if you're networking with someone, I am a specialist. I specialize in architecture, landscaping, accounting, and housekeeping. Okay, cool. Those are you're better than I am. I suck apparently, but okay. I can only do one, like an asshole, but whatever.
Oh Lord. Well, let me do a brief reset here. We're about 2/3 of the way through the show, and you're listening to Drive Through HR. Our guest is Adam Karpiak this week. We're talking recruiting, stripped-down recruiting, which I'm going to bring up in a second. And thanks to our sponsor, Q Inc. And now back to the show. So so we labeled this episode stripped-down recruiting because you posed the question to me, you know, do I have to wear pants?
Well, you know,
to do the show.
It's one of my core beliefs. I think you know these things.
What are some of the so that made me think, because then my brain went off on a tangent. what are some of the crazy candidates stories? Because I've just initially thought of a video example I had. Somebody told me not that long ago where they got on a video chat with a candidate who was a female, naked from the waist up.
Okay. Just to be clear for the listeners, that wasn't me. That's what I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
That wasn't a previous conversation. you know,
So you've got loads of, you've heard loads of things and are experienced in the South. What are some of the crazy job seekers, that candidates that stand out in your mind?
You know, it's hard because I always know that the stories that I know are always based on just lack of information and not knowing how to handle things. And it's just, you know, just sometimes honesty is just too hard, you know, like with biggest weaknesses. And, you know, someone will say, like, you know, I'm horrible at my job. And I've had someone say that before. And, like, I'm bad at what I do, but I need mentoring. And so the client was like, I'm sorry, I can't hire someone that says they're bad at their job. And it's things like that. Now, there's other times where, like, you know, I know a woman that went in there. She brought in lattes, you know, to impress the interview panel. And and I was like, because she asked me before, because I knew she was, it wasn't my candidate. She said, should I do that? And I was like, no. And it was just like a flat no, hard pass. And she was like, no, I think it would really stand out. I said, all right, whatever. And so she brought it in. And, you know, who would have thought that of four people in a room, you would somehow gather three lactose intolerant and one tea drink? And so she stuck with, you know, four lattes, and she just put them down gently. And then it was over in like 20 minutes, and she felt bad. And you have to remember, everything that the candidates do wrong, I say wrong, I'm doing air quotes now also, everything they do wrong is just lack of understanding, because someone didn't take the time to explain things to them. So I feel bad. Sometimes people say to me, like, don't you feel bad, you know, making fun? And you know, I don't make fun personally. I would never try to make anyone feel bad, but I try to make things learning, and I try to make things learning points, so maybe others know how to handle things.
And again,
you know, I think not being part of a corporate structure, you know, being my own boss, I have a little more leeway to do things like that.
I've gone back and forth, in-house recruiting, in-house HR, and have also gone back and forth a variety of industries. So everything from higher education to healthcare to, you know, casinos to chemical plants. I mean, I've done it all.
Right.
And, you know, I had quite a bit of time in organizations where we're doing a lot of, you know, entry-level hiring, service jobs, light industrial manufacturing type positions, things of that nature. And my heart would always, it's sort of the same thing. I would kind of be like, oh, my God, I can't believe that this crazy person did X. But my heart would break, because – quite often it was people who were finding it hard to remain employed for a variety of personal reasons and or skill set or experiences. But I would get people that would come in that had no idea that it was not appropriate to bring their bag of McDonald's in and sit down for an interview and proceed to open it up. Or, had a woman... I remember one time came in for an interview with our recruiter and brought her infant and proceeded to put the infant on the table. This is how long ago it was, paper applications.
Right.
Put the infant down on the table and started to change its diaper in front of
If that person wasn't hired right then and there, the process is broken. I'm telling you right now. Because that's not how we do things in 2019, all right? We hire these immediately. That's a great point, because that goes along with, you know, say like LinkedIn, right? And then people will reach out to me or other people and be like, hey, you know this person at Company X. Can you recommend me for this job? Hell no, I can't recommend you for that job, because I have no idea who you are or what you're going to do when you go in there. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, for example, one time, this wasn't me. I didn't recommend anyone. But, you know, someone was telling me that someone came in and, you know, it looked completely normal. Everything was fine. Towards the end of the interview, the person interviewing them noticed popping out of the person's briefcase, it was like a stuffed squirrel head. And they legitimately thought it was like a real, like, taxidermy thing, like just the head sticking out of the briefcase. And, you know, that was like a real sobering moment for me. And I thought to myself, there is zero chance I'm recommending anyone for anything ever again, just in case, because I would never want anything like that to come back to me. So people just don't know what they don't know. And it's a shame.
Yeah. And it's sometimes there are certainly people that have had the opportunity to learn what their conduct should be, and they just choose to ignore it. And then there are those that for whatever reason, education, upbringing, you know, other crap going on in their lives, whatever, you know, they just need a job. And they need a job as much as anybody else. And they just, that it's hard for them to navigate, navigate the experience. And then when we give them more and more and more hoops to jump through, that just beats them down even further.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that's where recruiters come into play. Like, you don't, not everyone has to be accounted to you for you to be nice to them. You know, some people, they just need someone to hold their hand and tell them, this is how it's going to be. It's going to be okay, but you have to listen to me. And, you know, I've this isn't my first rodeo. I've been here. I've done these things. This is what you're doing wrong. Now, if you want to be stubborn or not listen, that's okay. That's your prerogative. But I can tell you, this is something you want to look at.
And I think, you know, the beauty of, again, being being on your own, being a third-party agency recruiter, you have that ability. Folks that work on your side truly do have the opportunity to have those conversations with the candidates in a whole lot more realistic fashion, because I've certainly worked at organizations where even in-house, the in-house recruiting team tried to replicate that sort of that concept. You know, internal recruiter does a screening interview, feels really strongly, talks to the hiring manager, wants to get Sally in front of the hiring manager.
Right, goes to
bat. In-house recruiter works with Sally. Hey, Sally, you know, let me prep you as much as I can. But in-house, there's still a lot of, no, don't prep them too much.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's cheating. It's quote-unquote cheating.
Rise or fail on their own, you know, mentality.
Right, or you could say, you know, like, whereas an agency recruiter, you can say, you know, you're going in there tomorrow, and I just want to tell you, you look super creepy in that trench coat. Could you leave it in the windowless van? Like, can you not bring it in and see how it goes? It's a little easier.
Creepy trench coat guy is here.
Exactly. And everyone starts whispering and giggling, and then it's downhill from there.
Yeah, exactly. What? Here's a big question to wrap it up, because we've got like about a minute for you to give me this profound answer.
Sure.
When you look at, and this is eagle eye view, the recruiting process. Hiring process. What are the top things that are broken? What do we need to fix?
You know, honestly, I don't think anything's broken. I think it's a situation of people doing what they're supposed to do. I think the process is there, and it's like Nick Foles with the Eagles, and I will always quote Nick Foles because he gave the Eagles the Super Bowl. But he played within the system. The system is fine. I think it's a fine system. It's just people screw it up. And if everyone just does the system, I've always said, I've been saying this, and I get into a lot of fights. I think it's a fine system. People get hired all the time. You know, they really do.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, for the most part, recruiters muddle it up because they don't explain what they do correctly. They don't do their jobs correctly. And then it turns into, you know, I didn't get feedback or I got ghosted. And then I have to, you know, take a shot because I play the ghosted drinking game online. Every time I see ghosted, I drink. But it's a good process. It really is. It's just everyone has to do it right. And I think the onus really falls on the external recruiters when they're involved, because they're the ones that really screw it up.
I love it. Good. Well, I can't believe it. We're at the end.
Yeah, that
already.
Was, I mean, this Xanax is going to take a while to wear off. I mean, that was quick. Okay. That's fine.
So thank you again, our guest, Adam Karpiak from Karpiak.
Thank you.
Karpiak Consulting. Tell our listeners, Adam, where they can find you.
KarpiakConsulting.com. I'm on LinkedIn. You can search Adam Karpiak, or on Twitter, I'm Adam_Karpiak.
Fantastic. We appreciate you so much joining us on the drive-thru. Have a lovely rest of the day.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.